happy to be here. Count it a privilege. Love this church almost as much as our own. We love it for the truth's sake. Not a whole lot you can say that about today. Thank the church for the invitation through your pastor. Privilege to preach. We're thankful for Brother Don. Meant a lot to us over the years. Thankful for all you brethren. I read over there quite often where it says, remember what you've learned and who you've learned it from. And I think about you all and I say, thank you, Lord, for having known these, what I consider the greatest men of God in the world. I want to thank the men and women of this church for all the work we know it takes. We want you to know we appreciate it. If that means anything to you, we do. We began to surrender to preach here 10 years ago. I think it was 10, wasn't it? Is this your 11th conference? 12. 12th, okay. Well, first one anyway. Been saved 42 years and a lot of ups and downs. The Lord's marvelously blessed. I speak to you on a subject this morning, the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And it's almost inexhaustible, hard to find what to say and what not to say because Scripture is full of it from one end to the other. And yet, you know, we have many that will not recognize it. Daniel chapter 4. I thought if Brother Clark had preached 15 more minutes last night, he'd have got my whole sermon. But I was determined to preach it again anyway. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 35. He doth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say, God, what doest thou? In Isaiah 46:10, he says, my counsel shall stand and I will do my pleasure. Let's pray. Father, we thank you now for time you've given us to preach your word. Pray that you might be with this service. Give us readiness of mind to proclaim that which we've studied. Pray, Lord, that it'll be edifying to your people. Guide and direct in all things that Jesus Christ might be lifted up. Be with those that are sick. We do praise you and give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We would ask you to certainly pray for our wife. Doctor told her the other day she's time bound, getting ready to go off. So we don't know. It's hard to go because we don't know when something will happen. But and then we want you to remember Sister Wilson. Many of you know her. Been a great blessing to us. Had a heart attack last Wednesday and is in St. Joseph Hospital in very weak condition. Pray for her. Very pitiful. She has no family. One niece and three of her children, but very distant. Pray for her. When we think of the sovereignty of God, we mean that God is God, not just in word, but in fact, in deed. He is on His throne. As in Ephesians 1:11, says, He worketh all things. That means all things. All never has meant anything but all. He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, as it pleases Him. Not me or you or any church or any people. And if we're going to please Him, we're going to have to also work after the counsel of His own will. Takes counsel of no man, nor ask any man what he can do, but is supreme monarch and ruler. I get a kick out of these. I don't get a kick out of it, but I mean, as I think of these different clubs and so on, you know, they have their potentates and all of this supreme stuff. Know nothing about the Lordship of Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy says, chapter 6 and verse 15, that He is the only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. I'm thankful, aren't you, that He's not the weak, helpless, effeminate thing that the world ideas portray and show, and that Hollywood builds up to be nothing but a man that is just as big a sinner as you and I. Or as they. The Lordship of Jesus Christ and the sovereignty of God is basic doctrine. I hear so many, and I'll probably get into this just a little bit later, deeper, but I hear so many say, I love Jesus. I know I'm saved, but know nothing and recognize nothing and want nothing of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I believe there's much in the world today, too much, man-made. You know, we have man-made shoes, and you see stamped on them all man-made materials. Yeah, we've got a lot of churches like that, a lot of Christians like that, or, quote, so-called. 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells us of conditions in the last days, one of which in verse 5 is having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Denying the Lordship of Jesus Christ. His sovereignty. Brother Ruth Phillips read last night in Matthew 28, beginning of the commission there, Jesus said, all power. We can lay hold on that. We can believe in that. We must know that. As we go forth without all power of Jesus Christ, we have but to fail. Our conviction is, in 1 Corinthians 3:11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. He is Lord. John chapter 1 and verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that's the Word in verse 14 that became flesh and dwelt among us as a man without sin. And that's the Word that went to Calvary's cross and laid down His life and shed His precious blood that you and I might have life. And then if we say we have this life and then shun Jesus, don't fail to recognize His Lordship. Fail to look to Him for all in all, and most of all, failure to give Him all the honor and glory He deserves. Jesus is Lord. We've come to this place. We don't come to all things overnight. And it's not automatic. Many folks claim to know Christ and never come to these places. We praise the Lord in that. We don't praise ourselves or think we're any more knowledgeable than anybody else. But we praise God that He's seen fit by His Word and His Holy Spirit to teach us a few things by godly men that have through the years not been afraid to stand up and preach the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We're not going to read all of these scriptures because of time, but in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1 through 3, it talks about rejoicing in Christ Jesus and having no confidence in the flesh. I'd hate to have to. I would. I couldn't. There's been times I'm sure I have preached in the flesh, and it's the hardest thing in the world to do. Matthew 16:18, Jesus said that he would build his church. And he would keep on building his church until he comes. Having a real contest with a fellow that had been coming to our church. I'll mention it a little bit later. But Jesus is the power, and we can rely on him and his power. Now our desire is, and this will be leading into our text, 1 Corinthians 4:1, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ. Don't want anybody to even get the vague idea that I'm on my own. And that what I say supersedes anything that God says. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. That's what it's all about. Now, our text in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. For we preach not ourselves. I couldn't help anybody. I couldn't save anybody. Nobody can. I hear people saying all the time, and it just disgusts me. Seriously, I'm sorry, but it does. When people say, I can't get anybody to come if I don't have movies, puppets, and entertainment and all that other stuff. What have you got when you get them? Now, I'm not going to preach on that. I probably mention that every time, but still, listen. We preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ. And ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Now notice the middle of that. Maybe I didn't emphasize it like I should. We preach not ourselves but Christ Jesus the Lord. You know, almost every confession, in fact, I won't say because I can't say, I can't recall every one to memory, but every one I can recall, they recognize Jesus as Lord. Old Saul over there did. It wasn't very long until he was ready to go. He said, what do you have me to do? I know Baptists have been saved said they have for 30 years and haven't asked the Lord what they'd have them do yet. Amen. Don't want to do nothing. And they sure don't want anybody telling them to do anything. Well, we're convinced, we're persuaded, Paul said that he is able. Because he has all power. Jesus is Lord. It's easy to sing about, isn't it? I tell our people constantly, listen to those words. Tell you what, I believe we're going to have to answer for all them precious songs we sing, the truths that are in them. Didn't mean nothing to us when we were singing. Hear people say, oh, how I love Jesus. Don't really care nothing about him. Really. You can tell by their lines. You don't have to judge people. Just watch. Easy to sing about, but not many willing for him to be Lord of all they have and are. Now listen. Constantly affirming it within myself, am I? And definitely, before I preach, I have to examine myself. Am I really ready to give him honor and glory? Give him myself? All that I have? Do we hold back parts that we... This is mine. This is ours. God's got no business to interfere with this. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine. Men around about you see your good works. Those good works don't do anything for you, really. They honor and glorify the Lord. Matthew 16:24, he says, deny yourself. He says, many men not willing to deny himself, not worthy to be my disciple. recognition of Him as Lord. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. See a wonderful account here. Almost the same account as Saul on the road to Damascus. But in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Did you ever see Him that way? Not this little meek Jesus Brother Clark talked about last night, this sweet Jesus that wouldn't condemn anybody, wouldn't hurt a fly, wouldn't do nothing wrong, and certainly wouldn't send anybody to hell. He doesn't send anybody. People go because they want to go. Because they refuse to accept His Son and the record that He's given. But anyway, verse 2, above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me! Did you ever say that? Did you ever come to that place? Woe is me, for I am undone. I think of old Saul on the road to Damascus when Brother Clark was talking last night, and I had it in my notes, but nevertheless, can you imagine how he felt when he said, Who art thou? Lord? Could this be the Lord I've been persecuting? Could this be the Jesus that I've been trying to tear up His house? Can you imagine how he felt? A man of unclean lips, he's undone. We must feel that way. Don't see very many people feel that way anymore, do you? Woe is me, for I'm undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Look at the results, the same. The result's always the same. Verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? He knew who He's going to send. You want Isaiah to hear. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I. Send me. We're living in times dominated by materialistic abundance and pleasures. Multifold, every hand. Drive down the street, and everything in this world caters to man and man's pleasures. What God said, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. So therefore the world is going to cater to them. So the lordship diminishes. Only in man's estimation. He doesn't diminish. But in man's estimation and in man's showing it forth, it diminishes. One writer has said that the word Lord has become almost a lifeless word in Christian vocabulary. Don't like to use it because they don't like the meaning of it. You can't use it without the meaning. The Lordship of Christ is a primary confession in the New Testament. Read with me in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And it's still the primary profession of faith. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is God. And we are to behold His glory. Early Christianity demanded, I believe we must demand, a complete break, separation from a former life in the world. Did you ever see? I'll show you a little bit of what I'm talking about. Man's idea is this. I think Tom T. Hall has this song out. Me and Jesus got it all worked out. Isn't that man's idea? Doesn't that appeal to us? That means we're called conspirators in this thing. We got something to do with it, and that's what man wants all along. The Lordship of Jesus Christ says, we're nothing. Totally depraved, undone, doomed in the sight of God. We need Him, He doesn't need us. Me and Jesus. I saw a bumper sticker the other night. Same idea. People think they're really doing something when they got this on here. God is my co-pilot. See? He's there in case I need Him, but I'm doing the flying. I'm going where I want to, when I want to, the way I want to. He's my spare tire. A lot of people got spare tire religion today. Love the Lord. I got Him in the trunk when I need Him. Co-pilot. Jesus is the whole thing. We don't go where He wants us to go, when He wants us to go, and how He wants us to go, and with Him, we ain't going nowhere. It's the Lord first of all, number one. It's Christ or the world. You never see it combined. Old Testament said Christ or Belial. Cannot serve God and mammon. You either love one and hate the other. Just can't do it. The challenges throughout the Scripture to God's people has always been the same. Who is on the Lord's side? It's not my side. It's His side. If God be God, serve Him. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Personal. Don't look around and say, well, I'm going to do this because somebody else is doing it. Listen to God and say, I'm going to do it because what God wants me to do. Because God is Lord. I'm certain that many churches are filled with, I started to say baptized, but wet unbelievers. Wet unbelievers. You're not baptized until you scripturally trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and had a scriptural administrator, Lord's New Testament church, so on. Unbelievers calling Him Lord, Lord, and have absolutely no desire to do what He says. Jesus says, why? Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I command? We ought to say why. Why? Indeed, why? Doesn't make sense. Our life in Christ is to complement all week what we say we believe on Sunday. Adorn the gospel. Honor God. Lordship of Christ is the real confession of a born-again believer. Told you about man-made materials, artificial imitation. We're talking about genuine, authentic, the real confession. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. You run across a lot of these folks that say, oh, he's my Savior, but he's not going to be my Lord. I will not have this man rule over me. Great big whole bunch of question marks. Where is that Holy Spirit? Where is that spiritual leadership that God says is supposed to be there? I don't believe he's going to be Lord. He's going to be Savior. He's not a fire escape without being Lord. He's all. He's both. He's the whole thing. So modern times, in fact, Romans 8 says if we don't have his Spirit, we're none of his. If we can't say by the Spirit that Jesus is Lord, something wrong with what we got. Modern times have made religion cafeteria lines where people can take what they want and leave the rest and spiritually get nothing. I tell you, I'm not, if you got one, I'm not talking about you, all right? But I don't like this pen that says, try Jesus. Take a sample, and if you don't like it, you can spit it out or something of that nature. You know, I don't like that. You either got Jesus or you ain't. And if you've got him, you like him. And he's going to be Lord or he's not going to be. Nothing. We've only got one option. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But know this, once done, you're not your own, you're bought with a price. He is your Lord. The only way to honor him is to recognize it and live it. Try to live it. Too many say, I mentioned this before, but there are far too many, and far too many Baptists say, I'm saved. Nobody's going to tell me to go to church. Nobody's going to tell me to be baptized. I can worship the Lord just as good here, there, or anywhere. The Lordship of Christ and the Spirit of Christ and the Word of God does not teach any of that. Nobody's going to tell me how much to give. God has that right. You better listen. You want to honor him. If God be God. Just mull that over a little bit. If God be God, and if God is God, we better listen. Hear what he says. Well, Saul heard what he said. It wasn't very long, just a little bit. He said, what will you have me do, Lord? I'm ready. I will not have this man rule over me. A lot of folks that don't tell me what to do. God tells us to tell him. We try to tell him what the Word says. How God would have people come, fulfill the commission in trying to baptize people and trying to tell them how to observe all things. A lot of folks say, where do you get that stuff? It's not mine. Jesus said, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. He has the right to command. He has the right to expect people to listen and do. We don't understand it all, one fellow said, but we stand on it. Might be part of this book I don't understand, but I stand on it and I believe it, and this is all God told me to do. He said, believe it. Believe the Word and do it. Christian is a believer. Well, you know, just to emphasize this a little bit, in the New Testament, Savior is mentioned 23 times, 24 times. That's what somebody said that they went through and counted them. I haven't I haven't had time, but that's what they say. The word Savior is mentioned 24 times in the New Testament. That's not very many times. The word Lord is mentioned 433 times. Must be important. Must have something. So a Christian is a believer, a disciple, and a witness. Should become all three at the same time. And be all three all the time. That's what the Lord says. The only commission instructs us to make disciples, baptize them, teach them to observe. But I've heard Brother Clark say this, and I believe it. Not because he said it, because I believe it, convicted by the Word of God. I believe that means make Baptists. The Baptists are the only ones that can be taught to observe all things. You can't teach another denomination, a Presbyterian, I'm not just mentioning any to offend one or two, but listen, it's not the church that Jesus built. You can't teach them to observe all things. They don't have the right to observe all things. They don't have the commission to observe all things. A lot of people say, I used to do this. Mission, don't say that. Jesus said in John 8:31, He says, if you continue in My Word, then are you My disciples indeed. It means keep on keeping on, old Brother Paul Colley used to say. And it's good, not because he said it, because that's the way it is. Third part of that commission, well, in John 8:32, I think it is, says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Lord Jesus is the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. To hold up the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, in this world now. And the last part of the commission, I started to get ahead of myself a little bit. Jesus said, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. Indicating that if we don't, He's not with us always. And He's not bound to bless us, and He's not bound to profit the going forth of His Word. I'm not going to mention any more. I got Saul of Damascus down here. We'll skip this part. Brother Clark did a good job on that last night. And that's so true, though. Who art thou, Lord? Lord, what will you have me to do? Thomas had to be shown, but when he was, he fell at Jesus' feet and he said, My Lord and my God. Something many Baptists ought to do. Seriously. If anybody ought to do it, Baptists ought to do it. I've been accused of running folks off. The Lord is my witness. I'd love to keep them. I'd love to preach to them. Try to teach them to observe all things. A lot of times they won't come back and listen. Nothing going to do it. They don't hear the Word. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. It's going to accomplish what God wants done. And again, it is the Spirit that quickens. It's the Spirit that makes folks teachable. I got that from Brother Clark a long time ago, too. I heard him preach a message. And before he preached it, he said something about somebody wanted him to train a dog. I don't know if he's still got dogs or not. But he said, well, I'll train him, or I'll teach him if he's teachable. You know, that's the same way with Baptists. Seriously. We're not dogs or anything, but it is the Holy Spirit that quickens. It's only by the Spirit that we call Jesus Christ Lord and understand and know and strive to do and to be. We have many visitors, but I tell you what, when the Holy Spirit of God gets a hold of people and they recognize the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you don't have to coax and beg and plead and entertain and party with them. All you have to do is preach the truth, and they come and they love it, and they love them old hymns, and everything goes with it. We've been privileged, I believe, used of God. We have a pastor of the Fairhaven Chapel. I guess that's all they call it. Fairhaven Chapel. Has been coming to our services every Sunday night since Christmas. Cancels their own services, comes to our service every Sunday night. We've sat and talked about Baptist doctrine, Bible doctrine, the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, he has a wonderful attitude. He's not argumentative. Doesn't believe it yet, but I'd love to see the Lord make him a Baptist. I can't. I've done all I can do. We're praying. He prays with us. I've told him that we cannot fellowship in church capacity. I've told him we cannot recognize his ordination, maybe not his baptism. He was baptized in a Baptist church down in South Carolina some years ago. But I told him we'd have to check on that. He still comes every Sunday night, his family. Told him the other night, I said, you better watch out. The Lord brought you here for a reason. You're on dangerous ground. You know, if you got no intention of doing what the Lord says, then you better stay away from him. We may lose him. Jesus preached over there in John. He lost a bunch, didn't he? He asked his disciples, he said, you also go away? We need to ask ourselves that. Nowhere to go. Nowhere to go. Jesus is the thing. It's it. The Lordship of Jesus Christ is it. Got a whole bunch to get done here in 5 minutes. But how many saw in the last weekend's paper? You ever hear, you've heard of McDonald's, I'm sure. McChicken, you know, and McNuggets. They got McChurch. Seriously. Easter Sunday, 25,000 people they were expecting. I just got to read this, some of this, please. To attract churchgoers today, you got to please the consumer. Yeah. Doesn't say anything about pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't even preach the Lord Jesus. No pleas for money. No Bible thumping. Fast food religion. Listen to this. No archaic old-fashioned hymns. They have modern high-tech entertainment. 6 huge television screens to make it real to everybody. And on and on and on. They don't preach. Isn't that terrible? McChurch. We got a lot of them. I'm afraid we got some McBaptists around. We think back, you know, really, about the good old days. I think back when I was saved and the church was full, little old basement church, and how it just kept growing, you know. We built an auditorium, then they tore it down, built another auditorium, and just full, and people love the Lord and they praise the Lord, but you know, we can't look back. We're living now. We got to meet the needs of now. And I don't mean to imply in any way that we need to change, because the gospel of now is the same gospel that it's always been, because the same Lord Jesus Christ rules over all. We want you to know, and part of our purpose is to let you know it. We don't intend to change. We'll preach the word. be instant in season and out of season, so on. We can't just sit around and think about back how it used to be. We got to contend with how it is now. We got to preach to those that we get now, and we got to teach them to observe all things, those that we get now, regardless of who it is or how many. Our world is in emotional overdrive. If it feels good, do it. They want feelings. They want to feel good, even at the cost of any kind of truth. We're living in a world society without restraints. But God says, restrain them. I fully believe 2 Timothy chapter 4 says, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Same doctrine that he says teach them to observe. That means restrain them. Reprove them. Stop them from doing some things. At least teach them to stop. Tell them to stop. Rebuke and exhort. For the time will come. I've changed that in mind. Y'all forgive me for changing the scripture. But I put the time has come. I believe it has. I don't believe that I'm doing anything serious to the Word of God. Time has come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You know what they'll do? They'll go down the street to my church. Yeah. McChurch is a church without restraints. McChurch is a church without vision. I'll tell you what I think that means. Some quote Proverbs 29:18, as the church's failure, or as our failure, to see the lost dying and going to hell, and therefore, because we don't see it, they do die and go to hell. Well, I believe that vision has reference to the revelation of God's Word, and which reveals His power through God's agents or means, which is preachers, churches, and people. And that the people, it means the people without revelation of the Word of God, or people without being taught to observe, have no restraint, and they perish. I don't believe it's talking about the lost at all. I believe it's certain instances, churches that are long time without pastors, long time without the leadership of God. Many examples. We don't have time to go into that, but we need to know how to hear, to see. Once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Vision, revelation of God's Word. Sad to say that some pastors will not recognize the Lordship of Christ. And the third part of the commission, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. We preach not ourselves, but the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:1 says that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. God's Word heard and heeded leads to salvation, leads to successful living, and leads to true happiness, blessedness. The church is a church without restraint. We ought to weep. Seriously, we ought to weep over this condition. We had about 15 or 16 Sunday morning when I read this article, about 25,000 people without the gospel. Can you imagine? Why in the world would a fellow want to gather that many people together and not tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ? That's pitiful. But you know, McChurch, see, you can go and do anything. You can be anything. You can believe anything, and they welcome you with open arms. No admission charge and great worldly entertainment. No expense spared. And that includes everything. You can be anything that Galatians 5 tells us about as the works of the flesh, and go there. Fellowship with them. Have a good time with them. No work encouraged. No money mentioned. Oh, well, folks like that one. No Bible. No old-fashioned hymns. You know, just modern rock and roll. But you know what? Also, no hope. No Jesus. No eternal life. No love of Christ. Love me when I was unlovable. While I was yet a sinner, died on Calvary's cross and shed that precious blood. No Holy Spirit leadership. Can't make me believe there's any Holy Spirit there. You can't serve God there. You can't please God there. You can't be blessed of God there. And I don't believe you can pray there. That kind of a surrounding. I don't believe that's even one of them that the Lord said, I stand at the door and knock. I really don't. And in closing, I'll say just about one more minute. The Lordship of Christ will be the confession of all one day. Yeah. Scripture tells us that. Even old McChurches is going to recognize the Lord Jesus Christ one day. Philippians 2, verse 9 through 11, it says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's what it's all about. To the glory of God the Father. What we do, what we think, how we act. Have you? Read a book with this type of subject, and it says, when will you? It's not a question of are you going to. It said every knee is going to bow one day. When are you going to? You going to die now or in eternity when it's too late? Now while we can praise Him and live for Him, love Him that loved us. Another part of what it's all about. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do all to the glory of God. Again, I say, when God does that, don't have any trouble getting people to praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you.